Well, I desire your prayers. I'd like to look at the 77th Psalm. Oh, there's 20 verses, so maybe I'll read it all. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I communed with mine own heart. My spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is the mercy cling on forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. The way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among thy people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent a sound, and sound thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lighteneth the world. The earth trembleth and shook. The way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Starts out and says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. I was considering the idea the need of God. I think, or it seems to me like anyway, in a nation that's been enlightened, as our nation has been, and people around, it seems it's common story to hear of people getting in trouble. People that don't live for God or recognize God maybe in any way, but getting in trouble and calling upon God. It seems very likely even in times for people to do it. I can think of a number of times that I've heard about it. I remember a few years ago there was a story out of Joplin. There was a huge tornado hit Joplin, Missouri, and there was an audio recording of some people that run into a cooler, and as this storm devastated the area around, these people were in there, and one of the guys in there just started saying, I love everybody. I love you all. Love everybody. And to me, it was obvious that the expression was that the guy probably had nothing else that he could pin anything on. He
He was in desperate need. He felt horrified that this tornado was destroying, and inside of him something, I believe, welled up in him. I think there was something that he wanted to correct life about. That's all I can say. The story was, the man wasn't a religious man, but he began to try to make things right. I mean, as best he can, the best thing to do is love. And the only thing inside him maybe that was in there was to express, I love everybody, I love you all, and I was loving that. And others was calling upon God, Lord, have mercy on us and help us. We don't live for you, maybe. But we need you. We need God. Think about the idea of being in that. I don't remember necessarily before I started serving the Lord, but I know after I've served the Lord, I've got into places in my life that caused me to say, Lord, help me. In spite of the way I'm living, or in spite of the, maybe I'm not as diligent as I should be. You know, you feel those kind of things in those kind of places. When you feel the desperation and the need that you have in life. And I think of another story I heard. There was a young woman that was kidnapped. She was abducted and she was abused. And the guy had every intentions of murdering her. And had put her in the trunk of his car, and she had went through this horrible, horrible ordeal, and now she's going to her ultimate end. She feels she knows that, and in the trunk of this car, she starts doing, in her words, the only thing I could know to do. Hands was tied behind her back, and she's in a trunk of a car going down and knowing that she's going to die, and she starts praying, if there's a God. I know we think of that and think of having such a weak place to say, I don't even know if there is one. Lord, if there's a God, she said, help me. Help me, she was saying. Reaching out, crying out to something, to God. Lord, I don't even know, is there a God or isn't it? That's what she was saying. If there's a God, would you help me? This is not a Christian, this wasn't a Christian story. This was a story from someone. And you know, her testimony was, she said, I don't know what happened altogether, except for, she still says it was divine. She said she began to have the power. She started pulling on and started breaking the cords off of her hands behind her. She was actually able to fool with things and get a hold of the latch and pop the trunk. She survived anyway from that. But my mind, my heart is going out to the idea of this writer and the idea that there's places in life sometimes to get to that we feel so desperate for God. And I'm glad there's God. I'm glad that He's there. He says that, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I don't know about the language of that altogether, but I've sure been in places that it felt that way. And felt like there was, I couldn't get no relief because I couldn't get my mind off of it. You ever been in a place that your mind is so attacked, so absorbed? If you would think, if I could only fall asleep and to escape the idea that my mind won't let me go to sleep. It won't quit the runnings on this, the thinkings on it. You ever been in that kind of a place? It sounds like the writer maybe was in that kind of a place. And I really want to think about this next verse. Think about this. What the writer says. He says, I remember God. Well, what is your thoughts about God? He says, I remembered God. I mused. I thought about it. I remembered God. what is your thoughts about God today? Because there is a lot to think about God. I hope that we all can say, when I think about God, I think about a loving Heavenly Father that wants to help me. That's what I think of. That's not what this seems to be saying. Because he didn't say, I remembered God and it brought joy to my soul. Because when I remember God, now I know that all's taken care of. I remembered God. And I know that no matter what happens to me in this life, God's in control. That's not what he said either. I remembered God and I remembered the past times that the Lord brought me through hard times, and I know he'll do it again. That's not what he said either. He said, I remembered God and it troubled me. Then I thought about him. It troubled me what I thought about him. It troubled me to know that God is going to require something of me. I remember God and it makes me to know what I'm not. This, what an idea. What do you think about God today? Do you think about God and the idea that it'd be easier if he didn't exist? You know, the world around us today is doing that. They're eliminating God from the idea. They're not remembering him. Let's not think about God. Let's not remember God. Let's put God away. Let's not believe that he exists. And therefore, we won't have to be responsible to anything. I don't have to be responsible for whether I keep my marriage going or not. I'm not responsible. I made a vow that I would. But the vow doesn't mean anything if there's no place to put the vow. I made a vow to God. But if there's no God, then I'm free from the vow. I don't have to do that. I don't have to worry about my actions to my neighbor. So I find something of his out in the yard and I put it in my building. I want it, I keep it. What's the difference? There's nothing to give an account to. That's what the world's looking at and doing. But the writer here is saying, I remembered God, and because I did, it troubled me. It brought me some anguish. It brought me some trouble, because as I looked at the nation, I think that's what the writer's referring to, as I looked at our nation that's beginning to take on idolatry, and then I remembered God. And what did I remember about him? I remembered that he done us graciously. And we turned our back on him. How are we going to stand in judgment when God has done so much for us? I say it for myself. I take it personally. In my life, I saw it personally. So I'll give you my testimony. Maybe you've got one like it. I believe that God brought me to a point in my life when I was about 23 years old that brought me to a place that I was very unfulfilled in life and very unhappy. And brought me to a place that I felt a very much a need of something bigger than myself. I believe that was God did that. Brought me to that place. I believe that God, when I look back, I remember my grandmother was sick unto death about a year before I got saved. And the Lord touched her. And healed her, and she testified to how sick she was. And they called out the monarch, and the Lord touched her and gave her basically 1 year for me. Because I needed her. And after I got saved, the year I got saved, the Lord took her, the same problem came back on her, and the Lord took her 1 year later. You can say, oh, you want. I'm going to tell you my testimony. I saw the Lord. I think God done that for me. I take a special exception or a special privilege, you may say, or idea in the fact that I wasn't even here at the time. Some of you were, maybe. But when this chapel was built and how the Lord gave the property and the saints testified to it, Brother Jim testified to it, he was testifying it for what the Lord had done for him. But the Lord did that for more than Brother Jim. As I heard that testimony, I took a hold of that testimony, and all I can say, I remembered God. I remembered that and say, the Lord put this congregation here for me. I was over in Webster County, but the Lord gave this congregation here for me. I had someplace to go. I had someplace to go and be fed. I had someplace to go and there were people, there were saints here. I take that very personally, that God looked out for me in my life. And I remember that. I don't want that to be something that troubles me, that I say, oh, how faithful God is and how unfaithful am I. How good God has been and how that troubles me that He's done that. The writer here looks and what he's talking about is he looked and he remembered that God had proclaimed Himself to His people. He had made promises. They were in the land of Egypt and the Lord promised to get them out of there. And the Lord done many miracles to get them out. And he remembers that. And it's troubling him now that our nation that was so privileged, it troubles me in this sense. It troubles me that the United States is so turning its back on a God that set them up here. God gave us this wonderful way of life. I believe God gave that for us, our time. I thank God that I've lived in the time that I have. I think God gave us a very prosperous, good time and a nation to live in where we've been free and you can express yourself and you can worship the Lord. And I remember God that He done that. I'm glad that He did. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all that. And He said, I was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. It was too much. But I want to ask the question today. When you think of God, what do you think? Because there's a great indicator in gauge here. Are you thankful for God? Are you thankful for what He's done? Or does it bring a sense of trouble? It's not a bad thing. It's a thing that indicates something. If I'm troubled by God, I think there's a way to fix that till I ain't troubled. That God is wanting to help us. Now, I want to pass through some of this. There's a lot in here. But I want to go to the 16th verse. It says, the waters saw thee. I think that's quite an expression. Quite poetic. It's, the waters saw thee. There's other expressions in the scriptures. It's. I'm not going to articulate this very well, but it's trying to bring out a thought. There's a place that says, the mountains trembled, was afraid. The mountain. A mountain can do that? No, not really. There's a thought in it. There's an idea. The stones are going to cry out if you don't. If we don't praise the Lord, the stones will. Really? No, not really. But there's a thought, or maybe that is even symbolic of something else. But no, they're not. They're not going to really do it. But there's an idea here of it, and this says that the waters inanimate. The waters saw thee. If the sea, the ocean, the sea, the nature of life and everything can't resist God, what gives us the right to? The sea saw you, Lord. The sea was moved by you. It saw you coming. The idea is that the Red Sea is there. And here comes the Lord, and the Red Sea was backing back from him. That's the idea. It wasn't going to contend against the Lord. There's nature that calls on it. Water seeks its own level. There's weight involved. There's gravity involved and all these things. But the sea didn't contend with those laws of nature and say, no, we don't do this. No, it simply gave up. It simply gave up and yielded itself. The idea is, then why don't you? Why don't we do it? If the ocean does it so willingly, then why don't we do it? If the mountains shake, then why don't we do it? The idea. The waters, it says, saw thee. O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. Now there's a real idea in this to me. Because every one of us have things in us that it's impossible for anybody to know. It's impossible. I know you surfacely. You know me surfacely. But you don't know what makes me run. You don't know what makes me tick. You don't know what I hide from you. And I don't know what you hide. I don't know what feelings or thoughts that you have. I don't know what aggravations that you may have. I don't know the things that you have because they're not surfaced. They're impossible for me to see. There is things that cause you to do what you do that you don't know why you do them. There's a lot about us that is much, but this idea was, the idea of this was is that when God came by, He opened it completely up. You know that the Red Sea, this is what this is saying about the deep was troubled. God didn't just ripple the top of surface. He didn't make a wave just come by that affected the surface of it. They say that these storms that come by, these storms that come through, underneath the water so far that if you was underneath the water, you wouldn't even be affected by the storms. The waves and all that's on the top. You see the upheaval. You see the storms. You see the commotion. It may be awful and all that, but down underneath, it's calm down under there, I've heard. There's things down there that who can know? But this says that the Lord come by. And you know that the children of Israel, the Red Sea was split all the way to the bottom. I wonder what they saw down there that they had never saw before. There's things even in our modern time. There's things on the ocean floors that scientists are only now even beginning to look at and understand. There's things and creatures and things that they don't even know about down there. But you know the Lord come by and opened it up. All the way down to the very bottom. All the way to the very dirt of the bottom. He opened it all the way up to the bottom. Surely this isn't just for us to sit and wonder and awe and say, well, that was incredible and all that. And He is a big God and He can do those things. There's more in that than that. What are you hiding? It ain't really hid. Whatever those things are, they're not really hid. They're hid from one another. We talk often about bitternesses. The things that... There's times even, I think that there's times that we want to say, I got the victory over that. Because it's right to say. But down underneath, it still ripples it up. It still stirs it up. Down under there, there is still something that isn't really what it's supposed to be. Down under there, there's feelings, there's ideas, there's all these things still down there. There's creatures, there's things down there. But the Lord came and troubled it all the way to the bottom. This is one that cried unto the Lord. This is the one that wanted the help. This is the one that remembered the Lord and was troubled by it. Lord, help us.
that we're not troubled by the Lord. That our lives, what we got in our lives, doesn't make us want to be troubled at what the Lord's going to do about it. Or what the Lord knows about it. When I remember the Lord, instead of it being comfort, it's dread. When I remember the Lord, instead of it being satisfying, it disturbs my peace. Because I don't want to face Him. I don't want to deal with it. There's something not uncovered. There's something that I got down in here that I don't want to have to face God with. And when I remember the Lord, it brings a shudder to me. I don't want this. This is one of the songs that we used to sing. I heard it a number of times anyway. There's a place in my heart where even I don't go. There's something in there, Lord, I don't want to deal with. There's a place that's not uncovered. There's a place down there. And what it does, it causes me, when I remember the Lord, it causes me to be troubled. It causes me to wonder. It causes me to have a different idea. Do you know the faithful saints? The faithful saints of time immemorial has been able to say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." Think of that. To be able to say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." Well, come, Lord, we wait for you. We long for you. That's somebody that can remember the Lord and have full assurance. Come, Lord, come. I'm ready for you to come. Or we may say of our own lives, "Lord, have your way in my life. I'm ready. Take me. I remember the Lord and it brings satisfaction to my soul. It brings satisfaction to me. God's been good to me." But to remember the Lord and be afraid, to remember the Lord and be troubled, I'm not satisfied, because there's a place in my heart that I don't want to go. There's a place that I just don't want somebody to see into. I can't say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I would like the idea of you coming, but I got to have some time to fix something here that goes beyond the surface." If the water could say, it's in an illustration here, it didn't kick back, then Lord, when you come with your light, I want to be, I think that song went on to say, "Lord, let's go look in this room. Let's go, so I don't have to be ashamed anymore. That I can look and not have to be troubled by the idea of God." Now, I don't know how you get by this, but I'm going to tell you. We travel a lot. And I am very attentive to speed limits. I'm just not always real faithful to be there. I mean, I'm always attentive. It's supposed to be 70 miles an hour. I don't want to be speeding, and I definitely don't want to be caught doing that and all that. But because I'm not always going the speed limit, when I think about the cops, if I can say cops, the policeman out there that's out there to do that, when I think about him, it troubles me. I don't have a feeling of thankfulness that they're there. I have a trouble in my spirit. I'm going too fast. And when I go too fast and I look up and I see one sitting beside the road, immediately I feel trouble. Because I'm not confident. I don't have it all right. It's really nice to be traveling along. I love the feeling. I'm traveling along. I look and see a police officer. I look back at my speed limit. I'm going 65 and a 70. My seatbelt's on.
No trouble. No trouble. And I'm not preaching about speed limits. I'm using an illustration. All of a sudden, I got a memory. I remember God. I remember the one that gave so much. I remember the one that demands so much. Yes, He's God. And He's got a right to. And I remember that, and it troubles me. Lord, help us. I think about... there was a man named Job. Incredible story of an incredible man for his day and time. Because the things that befell him, this started uncovering and got right down to the bedrock of it. And of all that he had went through, and he remembered God, he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." When it all got down to the end of it, it showed what kind of a character the man actually had. One that could still say, with all of this, he could still say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is good. God did all this, and when I remember the Lord, I'm not going to remember." Now think about the scripture that says some man's sins go before. They go ahead of him. Men's sins are open. Some people get caught in their sins here. We was just talking, I think it was today, this morning. And I made the comment, there is so much corruption, there's so much lies, there's so much of this. You only get by with it here. Do you realize that you only get by with it here? If you get by with it here, it's only here that you do. You won't get by with it forever. It will be open and naked before Him on whom we have to do. It will all be as revealed. He'll go all the way to the depths and to the bottom of the sea, and He'll show it all out of everything that we are. It would be better, so much better, to make sure that every detail of life has been taken care of on this side. That it goes all the way. There's one verse on up here that is also something to consider. It says in the fifth verse, "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." What was it looking for? Looking to find out if there's anything in there that's going to hinder me from being able to face God. Anything in there that's going to keep me from being able to be what I'm supposed to be in this earth and what I'm supposed to be hereafter. Lord, I make a diligent search. When I call to remembrance, and as I mentioned before, these things are in my mind. I can go all the way through the scripture, but that can be a story, something we believe, but it can be a story. But then I begin to deal with my own life and the life of those that I had confidence in and right on. And I see the hands of God. I see God working through them all the way. And I think of the seriousness of God's attempt to get us to heaven. And I'm so glad that He is. And it brings to my remembrance of times of old, of how God was faithful to His people all the way down. I don't want to drop the ball 2016. I don't want to drop it on my watch. And I see a changing around us. I see things that are changing, and it seems so easy to do. It seems so right to do. But is it right, Lord? Lord, help us. Is it right? Is the change right? Is my attitudes towards it right? Is what I'm doing right? When I remember God, is it satisfying to me? that he knows? Is it a blessing to know that God knows everything about my life? It needs to be a blessing to know God knows everything about me. Thank the Lord. I am so glad you know everything about me. Or to say, I'm not thankful that he can know everything about me. There's things that's not like they ought to be. Attitudes that I shouldn't have. Dispositions, things in my life that I don't feel comfortable with. Lord, help us. When I remember the Lord, it troubled me. It troubled me. Lord, help me. I don't want the idea of God to be troublesome. That's what the world's doing. They're trying to get rid of God because God is troublesome to them. You mean I can't have this woman? No, you can't have her. Do you remember John the Baptist come along and said, you can't, Herod? I think Herod could have said, when I remembered God, it troubled me. Along comes, when I remembered John the Baptist, it troubled me because what he was saying. When I remember what the Lord's words were, it troubled me because I ain't living that way. You mean you can't have that woman? No, you can't have that woman. You mean I can't go here and be in good standing? No, you can't go there. I got this attitude towards somebody and I think I'm righteous in it. No, you can't hold that. Well, I said these words. I made these comments. No, you can't say that. What am I going to do? You're going to have to make that right. It troubles me. When I remember God and think, oh no, I got this gigantic, huge thing before me and the only way to get out from it is to humble myself and stand before my peers and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's too big. And when I remember God, that thing comes up before me every time. I remember a time years ago. I had something in my life. I knew it was in there. It was deep enough nobody could see it. And I dealt with it. I knew it was wrong. But I didn't know what to do about it. It was there. It was a part of me. And you know, I get down to pray because I wanted to be saved. And I get down to pray and the Lord would remind me over and over. And when I get down to pray, He would bring that to my attention. To the point that I actually would stop and shake my head and get it consciously clear it out of my mind. And then start praying again. And the Lord would bring it back to my mind. I couldn't keep it out of my mind. And finally, I remember this so plainly that the Lord spoke to me and said, why don't you just pray about it? I know about it anyway. And I started telling the Lord, Lord, I got this in my life. You know it. You see it. This is who I am right here. I need help. But the waters was open and God went all the way to the depths of it. But yet you and I will close it up and not let the Lord go down and see what's down there. He knows what's down there. But He wants to open it up to us. He wants to be able to make it better. And He wants us to be an influence to others' lives. And we can't be in this kind of a situation. Lord, help us. When I remember the Lord, I want it to be something that's positive, that's good, that I can testify to my children, my neighbor, my family, my friends, those, God is good. And testify to say, God troubles me. He troubles me. When I think of God, it's just a troublesome thing because I'm going to have to change something. I'm going to have to do some things. I can't walk as we had in Sunday school. I can't walk according to the flesh. I can't do these things. This is here. And somebody come against me and I got a mind against them. They hurt me. And now I cannot release this hurt. And when I remember God, it troubles me. Because here's one that hung on a cross, was hanging on a cross for the sins of the world. My sins, He hung on the world and He forgave me. He hung on that cross and He forgave me. And I can't forgive them that done me wrong. They said something, they hurt me, they belittled me. They made me feel insignificant. And what do? I hold it down in there. And if I'm not careful, I'll remember God. It may be small and insignificant until the day of trouble boils down on you
When the day of affliction, the day of suffering, the day of hurt, the day of tragedy, the day you get the phone call, and then you're going to cry, "Oh Lord!" And then there's going to be a little thing become a great mountain. And it's going to be simply your lack of confidence in God. Your confidence is going to be shattered. Because I got something in my life and I remember God. And it's troubling me. And now when I need the Lord the most and cried unto the Lord, all of a sudden this little thing comes pouring out of there. And you know it can be unkind words. A fight with the spouse. Now I'm going to testify to y'all something because you all know me. Okay, so go put that out there. Don't think anybody has any trouble thinking too highly of me, because I'll just tell you right out where my weakness has been. But then, I remember when I first started doing Sunday school classes here, and it's been from time to time with this hectic Sunday mornings trying to get ready, and there's a little spat in the house, a little spat between the. I was always quicker to take care of it on Sunday mornings than I was any other morning. Because in just a few minutes, I'm going to have to stand up here and act like I'm something or be something that I'm desperate for God to help me, or it's going to be terrible. And I needed God to the point I was always quick to make it better on. I was probably a little less on Monday mornings than I was Sunday. But you know, just the fact that Sunday was coming was always something, though. But it was the same with everything. I've had enough things in my life to know that the circle's coming around. You feel good today? You won't always. Listen, folks, we need God. And we need Him real bad. And He's a really, really, really faithful God. And He wants us to be a really, really faithful people. And you don't have to tell me. But I would recommend, if there's anyone here that has something down inside them that needs to take care of, go tell the Lord. It's really easy to tell Him. He already knows. So it's just telling, but it's really easy to tell Him if you'll do it. Go tell Him, and maybe you won't get it conquered today. I didn't. I just simply started telling the Lord about it until the Lord worked it, until I got it took care of. You know, it's better to just start opening it up, and in your prayers to the Lord, your closet prayers, go in there and say, "You know that thing they said still hurts, Lord. I don't want to be affected by it. Lord, would you help me? I see there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I'm feeling some bitterness about that. I need your help." To be honest before the Lord. And you know, when you get through with a prayer like that, what's going to happen is you're going to say, "I remembered the Lord. And it sure was pleasant. Maybe I haven't got it just all took care of, but just telling the Lord, it made me to build a confidence with Him. And I'm confident the Lord's on my side. We're going to take care of this. And I can have confidence in the Lord." You pray for me. I want to be faithful.